Okay, let's update you on this situation between the cruise terminal company limited and the Barbados Port. Stetson Babb has been speaking with one of the managers outside the port.
We're here just outside the Bridgetown port where an incident occurred this morning. We're with the CEO of the Bridgetown Cruise Terminal, Jeffrey Roach, and he tells me that he and his staff were apparently locked out this morning. Is that correct, Mr. Roach?
That's correct. Yes, this morning, as I was preparing to come out for work, one of my staff who was due to come out for around 6:30 called to say that he refused entry to the property.
And where does that leave you now? And why did this happen? Do you have any idea?
Well, we've actually spoken to our attorneys on the matter, and we actually are expecting that the misunderstanding should hopefully be cleared up very shortly.
You call it a misunderstanding. What sort of misunderstanding?
Well, the issue is that, you know, currently there is a difference of opinion between ourselves and the court regarding the lease for the Bridgetown Cruise Terminals to operate at the port. And we are continuing to operate as legitimate operators of the facility. The court, however, has a different opinion on that, and our lawyers are addressing the matter.
All right. That's the CEO of the Bridgetown Cruise Terminal. The workers and himself locked out this morning. We'll continue, of course, to track the story. Just outside the Bridgetown port, Stetson Babb, Starcom Network News.
Okay, thank you very much, Stetson. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Somebody sent me a note here saying that they have been professionally involved in this matter with the Crane Resort and two of its vendors down there. And they're saying to me, trust me when I tell you that there's a lot more to this matter than is being reported in the news. The person says to me that the Crane has been a model organization in this society and has taken up many, many hours trying to accommodate these vendors and vendors in general. They say it goes far beyond saying Da Beach is mine. There are regulations set by the NCC that were downright being ignored by the said vendors. But that has not made the news. Things were being done that resulted in negative comments being made by guests on travel websites. And then the person says that as far as Eugene Melnick's comments are concerned, take them with a pinch of salt. His comments, like the ones made by him last December against the Crane, are not objective, but are really very personal. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well. And you?
Well, I don't know how I am. You know, sometimes listening to this program sometimes can get you a bit...
depressed?
I don't know. Very much so.
Why? What depressed you today?
There's so many things happening wrong in this country. But, you know, something you wonder if you continue to speak, you know. And I'm going to say that, you know, that as a supposed to be 98% literacy in this country, I find that we operate as a people far below that. You know, some discussions lacking in serious content. I don't know where to rate the program in terms of seriousness of it or comedy or what have you. But, you know, as I said to one of your moderators who's not, you know, on the program anymore, Barbados was once considered the gem of the Caribbean. But within this beautiful country, Barbados can be found with the most stupid people in the Caribbean.
Isn't that peculiar? That's peculiar to Barbados. Every country has people like that. I'm sure that I hear people say that a lot of those people functioning in that way voted for Trump. That's what I hear Bajans say. So every country has its mix.
Apples and oranges, oranges, apples. But that, if they compared, I mean, I don't mean, you know, Trump has established himself as what he is already, but I mean...
But you're talking about him. You're talking about the people who vote for him. All I'm saying to you... you're going to have people like that in every country. But you have called with a more substantial point, I'm sure, beyond talking about the attitude of people. There's something that somebody said here today that really has ticked you off. What is it?
No, not only today, but several, you know, on several other occasions, you know, you hear things, yes, maybe in your earshot, somebody can't sit and listen to it.
But you know that as a moderator, I go through that too.
But I have no doubt you do. I have no doubt.
But you got to deal with it. I hear people say a lot of things around here that, to me, don't square with the reality of my own existence. But I have to listen to them because that's their perspective on life.
Well, I guess it's good for your blood pressure. It's not good. You know, we put you on the scale of pressure, but I'm sure it may be, in some cases it could be pretty high. Now, it might be a bit ironic that what I said previously, but I'll continue. I'll say it nevertheless that even though, you know, among some strange people in this country, and what we're going through now is not consistent with what our forefathers expected, having worked so hard in the plantations and that type of thing, and digging roads and cutting canes and all that kind of nonsense, if you want to put it that way. I'm not going to leave Barbados to go anywhere, not in any Caribbean country. I don't care if this country swims or sinks, I'm not leaving here to go anywhere, right? I read some of the papers sometimes and I see some comments by people that are disingenuous, yes. And I wonder, you know, what's wrong with your backyard? Clean your backyard first. That's the first thing. And that's what we have to do. There must be a commonality of...
Beginning where? Because you're speaking in very general terms all the time.
There's nothing wrong with being general in this case, but it suits the occasion.
Clean your own backyard where? How?
Where, anywhere, whether in St. Lucia, whether in Jamaica, whether in St. Vincent, whether in Trinidad.
Well, you know the devil is in the detail.
Well, sometimes.
It is, and there are different approaches to cleaning your own backyard.
Well, we ultimately we are responsible for where we go, where we're going, and who's taking us. We have to. I hear you say something this morning where, tantamount to say, we sit down on our laurels and allow people to take advantage of us, and that's true. We are not a militant type of people. I don't know who's going to build that cap. Maybe it's going to get built some point in time, but. Really, I know that's for sure. Maybe we're sitting upon a keg of social unrest, just waiting to lit by somebody. But in the meantime...
All I would say is that we have to be very careful in dealing with one another, that we don't take each other for granted, because the human mind pushes people to react in different ways. You look for one type of reaction in social upheaval as a possibility, but then there is also that other side of it, which it says, look, ultimately you need to be able to get people to work with you and work towards the common goal of making Barbados a much more improved society. If you get people to the point where they're disenchanted and they don't care less, then how can you achieve the objective? It will only create a Barbados where fewer and fewer people are the ones who are going to be the beneficiaries of what little the country has to offer.
But I mean, you were saying that people are so myopic, and I mean, leaders in this case are so dumb and myopic that they can't see the pitfalls. They can't see.
I don't think that. I think part of the problem that you can believe you're experiencing at times is that there is a detachment. My own assessment of where we are right now is that there is a strong degree of detachment by people who should be in a position of responsibility. And I suppose I can only give you my feeling. This whole situation, for instance, with respect to how we are dealing with elections at this time, to me, ignores the concerns that exist out there. Not about just the politics of it all, but it's about the state of the economy. Where are we? What needs to be done? Can you afford the luxury of postponing this thing for so long? But more importantly, it is like you're looking at you have the legal authority and you stamp your legal authority, but where is your moral authority? Do you have that?
Is it political tribalism or strategy? What is it?
Well, I don't know. I, in due course, you will discover whether it was strategy or not. But the most important part of this system that I believe needs to be respected is that you need to have a kind of... Your leadership in Barbados requires that you are responsive to different constituencies. Now, sometimes you can be swayed by your own political party, your organization. Sometimes you can be swayed by the foreign investor. Sometimes you can be swayed by the white Barbadian business person or the black Barbadian business person. But people out there in the community who are not necessarily part of your party apparatus and all of that. But you got to be responsive. That's what I've seen over the years.
Is this different from any other Caribbean country?
No, it isn't. It isn't. Right. But if you fail to be responsive, what is the price you pay? We haven't really.
I'm sure those who are in control of the country's purses are aware of that. That the consequences, whether they are.
It depends upon the personality, though. Everything depends upon the personality of those who lead, personalities.
If you're going to do things that are inimical to your own survival, then you have to be held responsible for that.
You will be held responsible, but you may pay your price. But the question that you must really ask is, and what price might your country pay? That is the bigger issue.
That's true. I can go with that. That's positive. You know, but so you are advancing the argument then that maybe you're putting too much politics ahead of what really is of major concern to the country. That's what you're saying.
Really,
because you're not calling election when it should be called.
At this stage of the game, I would go so far as to say that you're running the risk of making it appear as though you're looking after your personal interests. You're running that risk. Now, there are those who will differ because they're going to say, well, you know, but the law allows you to do that. It is not just about what the law allows.
I'm not going to go any further because I want to say that I am apolitical. I am a Barbadian, a proud one too. And when the bell tolls for whomever it does, well, we have to wake up next morning and deal with it. That's all it is.
Okay. Thank you very much. I mean, the most significant issue that is confronting us has to do with the state of the foreign reserves. And in this period, we also have to confront this question. Without parliament meeting and that sort of thing, what is this system that we have? Legally, that's what we have inherited. But if you have a system where a government and cabinet ministers could go off and sign off on this and that, and sell off this and sell off that if they so desire. For instance, if they were so inclined to sell off sugar lands right now, in these current circumstances where you need to have money to prop up the foreign reserves, it's an environment in which the checks and balances are fewer. Is that a desirable situation that a group of people could sit down and decide what they are going to give sell off here and sell off there, and at the end of the day, the people of Barbados will be committed to that irrespective of what happens in the general election campaign? Is that an acceptable system for Barbados? You really believe that? And a lot of you all are sitting down here and not taking cognizance of just how serious this situation is. This is down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. This person writes, David, I am all teary-eyed. That child's father bless my heart. I have no young children. I have grandchildren. I sat down with my grandson and showed him the video, and he said she walked away and nobody fought. The person then goes on to say that they were overwhelmed with joy to see that the child not only walked away from such, but that it was a child from Princess Margaret. Why? Because these schools have a reputation for negativity. She says she heard a male say that only children from those lower class schools would behave like that. So he has been proven wrong. The moral of the story, says the writer, is that it is not what school you go to, it is how strong a person you are. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
And hey, thanks for that. David, am I on?
Yes, you are.
How are you doing today?
We're okay. And you?
I'm good.
Yes. You sound
David,
a bit off, Mike. It sounds as though you're speaking to me.
Phone.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get...
Yes.
You can hear me now?
Yes. I don't want the other people in the room hearing me hear what you're telling you.
Yeah, David. A couple of years ago, I was involved with the whole Water Warriors projects in our church and a few other organizations in the island where we were going through this serious water crisis. It hurt my heart as I move around the island, St. John, St. Joseph, and thing, working with water. So you could imagine how I feel, or how I've been feeling over the past 2 to 3 months. When I drove across Long Bay, St. Philip, and saw that right in the middle, water has been pouring out, water trucks. The Water Authority has been coming in looking. Dennis Johnson, I think as recent as last week, Monday, read an email begging the Water Authority to go and fix the pipe out there. And as of this morning, nothing has been done. The water is just pouring freely across Long Bay. It hurts, David. It hurts. And I hope that very soon the Water Authority will pay that area some attention, because there are people around the island who still cannot get water and who still have to wake up in the morning and go by standpipes and that kind of thing. So I hope they will pay that some attention.
Okay.
My other point, David, I want to congratulate the team that you had for the games last week. You call it NAT. Those two youngsters.
BSAT.
I mean, they were
Curtis Hines and Paul Mears.
They were so professional, David. I mean, I normally don't follow it up because of work and thing, but just I just had to listen to them, and they made you feel like you were at the stadium or wherever it was held.
Excellent work.
So it was excellent work, David, first class. Thank you on their behalf. Yeah, my third point, very quickly. You just mentioned about what is happening in the island. You know who will pay for this? This morning when I went outside, I saw my daughter there very depressed. For 3 hours she was waiting, you can't get a bus. And a lot of young people across the island. And I say young people because there are no starting. We people at UME, we are in the departure lounge, and we've been there, done that as far as work. But I remember myself back in the late 70s, early 80s, starting to work, and how important the bus service was for us in keeping a job to try to make a future. When I see young people can't get to work, can't get home, you know, and as they start to move into the world of work and the supervisor.
Look, let me tell you something. Before you get to their ability to get a bus, you're going to have to deal with their ability to get a job here, because that if we do not arrest this situation here with respect to the foreign reserves and the general economic situation, we have had in this country quite a lot of money has been taken out of circulation in taxation and stuff. It has meant that people have not had that disposable income, and it has impacted on many companies in Barbados. There is no one company that can sit down here and gloat about the misfortunes of any other, because we are all eating from the same bowl of soup. Therefore, if you don't fix this and if you don't treat it with urgency, the truth of the matter is, and I give you my perspective because at the end of the day, I put it there for you and anybody else to challenge me on it. You can talk to me about it. You see the South Coast Sewage Project and the problems that we are facing with it right now? You got to be careful that we don't treat the economy the same way.
Correct.
Because in this same way that we are now having major difficulties trying to stem the flow of sewage onto our roads, with all that goes with it, to the same degree, we could find ourselves unable to correct the downward slide in this economy.
Correct.
If we don't treat it with urgency.
And David, that is my big fear, because I am surprised that the unions, the business people, the churches, and the other organizations are really so silent, because the central bank governor's last report, he talked about the drop and in the foreign exchange, but he didn't stop there. He said it continues to decline. I remember about 10 years ago, I wasn't in the island, I was at a meeting and following your program, and you interviewed David Thompson. You got a lot of lashes for it. People called and said he was sick and this and that, and I felt it was very unfair to you. But the Trinidadian guy that was listening along with me, he said, but don't you know that the world is seemed to be heading towards a recession? Why weren't they not listening to what the guy is saying on your program in Barbados?
Because they got caught up in the emotion of the moment rather than the substance of the issue, which is that if you are in that situation, you don't hold on, you let somebody else go and deal with it.
Yeah. And we went into a holding mode for about 8 or so months, which I felt we paid for years later. And I believe right now, you see this 3 month period, this is going to have such an impact on Barbados in the next few years. I mean, what has been going on for the past year have been having an impact. But this, we have no time to waste in putting our economy right. Every key person, whether it be from Jamaica that you had on VOB a few months back, or whether it be the Trinidad economist who is working, whoever have spoken have said one thing: we need to work and work right now, and to sit back and allow these months to go without adjusting this economy or without trying to stem that downward trend. I think that God will have to help us in the next few months here.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I mean, I recently interviewed, this past week, interviewed a young economist who has worked here, a Barbadian, living in Canada now, and he was expressing the very same concern. Barbados cannot afford this kind of time, wasting of time on this matter. I mean, people can set up, you know, the thing about it is politicians do their political thing, but it is not just about them. It is all about us as a country.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. And all right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Whether it goes in favor of the BLP or the DLP or Natalie, for that matter, you still need to have that decision made now, so that people who got money to invest, because in the meantime, it's not just the foreign reserves by itself, but it is the whole investment climate, the confidence building. Good grief! I mean, I thought that we all understood this by now, but we just got to sit down here and people say, well, you know, we've waited for so long. We could as well wait for the couple of weeks or whatever it is and see how it plays out at the end of the day. But, I mean, some of us have been around in this issue of public affairs and stuff long before some of these people who are politicians were around. And you know the consequences of not acting in a timely manner. And we are all victims of it. If it does not turn out right. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on the program today. I do not like the way the government of Barbados has been treating with the issue with the union and the civil servants. The government came to the people of Barbados in 2008, the Democratic Labour Party, and they told the people to walk with them, wrap themselves in the flag, hold their hands, and all make sacrifices. And the unions, along with the civil servants, decided that because the economy was bad, that they would not pressure the government about an increase in wages for civil servants. Now, the politicians came out and pretended that they were taking a 10% cut off their salaries, but they just rested it aside and collected it a few months later like a meeting turn. All this time, the civil servants had not yet received an increase in their salaries, but yet the politicians were saying that they could no longer survive, they had children to send to school, as they had bills to pay, as though they were existing on a planet by themselves. Now, what this 90-day extension has done, the tremendous damage that it is doing to the psyche of the people of Barbados is this. You have a situation where government say it doesn't have money to buy garbage trucks, it doesn't have money to buy buses, it doesn't have money for certain social services, it doesn't have money to pay the civil servants. But somehow the Prime Minister of Barbados has cleverly orchestrated a plan to extend the life of Parliament beyond the dissolution of Parliament. And because of what he has done, this same Prime Minister who's telling the entire country that he doesn't have any money, each of these ministers over this 3 month period will collect an almost $50,000 per minister.
But you don't know what per diem they're getting either, because they may be traveling to major meetings as well in the period.
I was about to get to that. Now, the Prime Minister himself is supposed to travel about two or three times to deal with the Commonwealth activities and so on and so forth. He and his entourage. And the question that you asked just now is pertinent. What are they doing for these 90 days? I mean, if you are saying to us, this is sending mixed messages to the country that is not good, Mr. Stewart. If you are saying to us that we don't have the money for this and we don't have the money for that and we have to tighten our belts, why did you allow Parliament to be extended by another 90 days so that your ministers can get an extra 3 months pay? Well, this does not make any sense.
I can't answer that. That's a Mr. Stewart's question. And I really do believe that in terms of the public perception, when you stack one against the next, it is hard for people not to say that this does not come, it does not fit with what you would expect. You cannot, on the one hand, be crying out about how difficult it is and say we can't do this and we can't do that. But first of all, you don't appear to have any urgency associated with trying to fix the problem in terms of having the election and letting that, you know, getting that out of the way. And then you create this environment where, as you said, you know, it appears as though people are getting an extra payday, unnecessarily so. I mean, what is it that they are doing in this period? What is it that they are reporting to the people of Barbados in the period of the 90 days that is so remarkably different? All right, now we need to hear what's happening with the sugar industry. Nobody's talking to us about that. They need to tell us, for instance, what is happening with the sugar lands in the interim period. Okay? But none of that we are getting, because we are, I must tell you, my perspective on it is that it comes across as though, you know, you're basically hijacked in the 90-day period. But who's talking? Barbadians have become so jaded with the talk, they say, well, you know, why waste time talking about it now? Now let me just go along and wait until whenever it comes. But we got to be honest enough to say to you, this is basically how it comes across. Now, having said that, you know, I am always anxious to have the people who have another view coming in and sharing that alternative perspective with me. And I expect that we will have that before the end of today's program. Down to brass tacks. This person says, funny you mention foreign exchange. I went to a popular store on Broad Street and the shelves are practically empty and I wasn't able to get the item which is readily available there. I asked if they were closing down and was told no. Person says to me that the problem is that they're experiencing a problem with foreign exchange. Let us continue to pray for our country without fail, says this person. Good morning. Hello. Welcome.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, morning.
I have been holding on quite a long time.
Yes, sir.
Before I get through to you.
My apologies. I'm sorry, but.
Thank you. Mr. Ellis, God has offered me a job. Almighty God has offered me, Merton Kinch, a job, and I have accepted it. God has shown me this world was created with opposites or comparisons, as we call them. This, he started first with the angels. The angel Gabriel had to choose between pride and proud, and he chose pride. And he told God, I will rise up above you and be greater than you. We know there's nothing above proud. God is proud. Whatever, there's no power above perfection. God is perfect. But he will rise up above God, perfect God, and tell God that he is greater than him.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, we've had a number of queries about what is happening at the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. We're trying to find out exactly what is the situation there before we go any further. Okay? Down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning, sir.
It's a long time I haven't spoken with you.
That's true.
Anyhow, here I am. Look, I've been listening to all of this run around and, to put it mildly, confusion about situations in the country at the moment. A number of things have been put into the soup.
Such as?
Such as the Natalie saga, the situation with the economy, the sewage, but the whole gamut. And we have two radio stations. I listen to them. And if you listen to one, let me put it as if we were talking about the climate of the country, the climate we've got there. But you get at one that the rain is falling as a result of absorption of the waters that we've got here from a rainfall, and it comes down. The other one, you hear about flash flooding, dangerous flash flooding.
Before you go on, let me just alert the public that there's apparently been an electrical fire of some sort at the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. And that is what would have disrupted their operations there. So that's the information that we're getting from the newsroom, that it's an electrical fire, but we're going to get more details from the fire service during the course of the morning and early afternoon. Down to yes, sir, you were saying?
Yes. So, I mean, it says clearly that we as a country, we are divided on the situation.
Divided on what?
Divided on the situations. By that I mean, one person sees the cup being half full, and the other half sees it being half empty. Which seems like a normal thing, but then they are fighting one against the other, that it is what I see, and the other says, no, it is what I see.
Which part of the cup is half full right now? I mean, when we look at what are you talking about? You're talking about the politics of it all? Just the politics of it all? Are you talking about the economy of Barbados?
No, I'm talking about the politics of it all.
Well, that will be settled in due course. That will be settled by elections, hopefully. As long as they're free and fair, that will settle for a period. Because that changes. This is not something that remains constant.
But we cannot omit that little saga, that little phrase which says, while the grass grows, the horse starves. We can't forget that. I mean, anyone listening to it, it is really debilitating. I mean, it is, people will have to be depressed. It is awful to hear it, you know. If you're taking part in it, obviously, you stay on your side of the fence. But for the spectator and the one who is listening to it all, it is really depressing, not to say confusing. Now, I don't
want to. What depresses you?
What depresses me is how a little country like Barbados can be so bisected that people are ready to cut each other's throat about something that you are not arriving at a solution and you are forever in turmoil. Because we don't seem to understand.
Turmoil is an appropriate word to use in the context of where we are. You would say it's in turmoil?
Yes, Ms. Ellis, I would say so.
And how would you identify that turmoil? In what ways?
Because things seem hopeless, and there's nothing worse than when you are in a hopeless situation. You see it as being hopeless. That is why people commit suicide. You know, strange as it may sound, people commit suicide because they don't want to feel as badly as they're feeling. They want to get away from that. And they destroy themselves. Because then I wouldn't have it to bother about.
Well, you know, the two of them are not one and the same. Turmoil and hopelessness are two different things. But you may...
They may not be siblings, but they're first cousins.
Look, I must confess to you that there are reasons why people can feel that sense of hopelessness. And
I quite agree.
But the real issue here, the real message out of all of this is, after this, what? You recognize that this period of what some may see as hopelessness is throwing up some questions about how we do what we do, what systems we have in place, what we have inherited, what has worked for us, what has not worked for us. How do we create a Barbados to avoid a situation such as this in the future? That is perhaps the most important part of this lesson. Whatever you may be going through now that is so negative, in your judgment,
yes,
how are we going to fix that for the future?
I'll tell you one thing that we can do, and that might be a Herculean task.
What's that?
And that is, we have got to come to a common point where we both recognize that right is right, even if everyone is against it.
That's not politics, though.
No, you don't hear me in things political. You hear me in the social outfall.
Yeah, but your social outfall is influenced by political decisions. Hopelessness that you are talking about is driven by our political system as it's currently structured.
I quite agree, Mr. Ellis, but what I'm saying to you is this. I don't want to go down the political...
But you can't avoid it. You're going to try to stay in the social realm. But
yes.
My friend... Let's not be so naive as to believe that we can just stay within the social realm. The problems that we have in our country today with crime and deviance and that sort of thing, you know full well that some of the decisions that would have to be made there would be political decisions. You're going to make choices as to where you're going to put the accent. So this notion that you can just have a discussion totally devoid of the political decision-making, I don't think that that's realistic at all.
I'm not saying that either, Mr. Ellis, because there is no effect without a cause, and politics would cause it. But you are looking at how come the same politics that we're talking about, some people see it as just a normal rainfall, and others see it as a tsunami. It is the same politics, but it is how it affects whom. That is the situation. And you rightly said, we have got to realize that it has stemmed from there. But what do we look at? How do we see it? We don't all see it the same. But it is all from politics. Nothing can happen except it has a cause.
Okay, we got to go. Thank you very much. Somebody points out here that when you look at this 90-day period, it's not just the government ministers who get in the money. There's some people in the opposition, too, who will be getting some money during this period, you know? And together, I mean, this to me, this seems so kind of outrageous for us to be going through this kind of period. Is this one of the things that we really should be looking to change, you know? 468,000 dollars a month, that's what it is, for in this 90-day period. You know, whether it's the prime minister who getting $21,000, the leader of the opposition who getting $13,000. I mean, gee. It isn't that you want to cheat people of what is theirs, but truth be told, this doesn't seem right to some people. It just doesn't seem right. And you can tell me that, oh, as somebody say, you know, ministers have remained in place when Parliament was dissolved previously. Yes. But how many times have we gone into this 90-day period? You tell me. There's no precedent for this as far as I am aware. Well, the city went through this period once with respect to the issue of when Mr. Sandiford, when there was a vote of no confidence. But I think in those circumstances, people would better understand it then than what is going on now. This is something else. Down to brass tacks.
Am I on?
You are.
Listen, sir. Good morning, and whatever good health I wish for you. Because you know you don't like me on this program. No, you are going to look at what this government is doing now and getting this money. But when they posted the MOU to the highway, Miss Martley posted to MSL and only met an MOU. She never said she was Attorney General when the whole prison was burnt down. But this is not my question to you this morning.
What is your question, though?
You remember that I had a girlie to sing a song. I want a plantation. I want it at any cost.
Yes.
It's near John King.
Yes.
We running out for a seat in Parliament.
Yes. You can't say that. Listen, you don't get me into trouble coming here. So after all this time to come and put me in trouble, because you know full well that I have nothing to substantiate the claim that you are making. I have none. So please, let's not go there. But if the person at the time who had owned a plantation that was the center of a lot of controversy was Vic Johnson. Okay? Down to brass tacks. Hello?